62. Marcus. This had been a mistake. Turn around. Go back. Travel the Via Hibernus instead. These were the thoughts cycling through Marcus's head as he and Terriana left the shack located at the foot of the Cybernese Teeth, following the marked trail into the maze of narrow ravines between the enormous vertical slabs of rock. This place is strange, Terriana said, reaching out her arms so that the tips of her mittens brushed the walls to either side of them. I've never seen anything like it. Strange was one word. Terrifying was another. There is nothing else like it. In the East, at any rate. She turned around, her brow furrowed as she regarded him. What? His tone was sharp, though he hadn't intended it to be. Shaking her head, Terriana carried on through the ravine. She knew something was wrong, but he hoped she was attributing it to his concern over their lack of food stores, or his general pessimism about their circumstances. He'd even take her believing he was being an ass for no reason at all over her guessing the truth. You can't do this, his fear whispered. You've never been able to do it. This time I will, he told it. I'm not letting her starve to death because of you. You'll fail, it answered. Turn around, turn around, turn around. No. Marcus gave a sharp shake of his head, shoving away the thoughts, focusing instead on their surroundings. They'd been in the Teeth for less than an hour, and already he couldn't have said with any certainty which way was south. The path through the ravines was full of switchbacks and places he was certain they were backtracking. And with the towering slabs of rock blocking any vantage of the sun, it would be easy to become turned about without the carved markings to guide them. Even the wind seemed to switch directions, bouncing off the ravine walls and erasing their tracks, a constant haunting moan that rose to a shriek in certain places. The sound made Marcus's skin crawl. And it was cold. The sort of chill that bit through clothing, skin, and muscle, sinking its fangs deep into the bone. Yet despite that, sweat trickled down Marcus's back, because he knew the worst was yet to come. The walls moved in, now barely wider than he was at the shoulder, only a sliver of sky visible far, far above. It seemed they'd reached a dead end, but ahead of him, Terriana made an abrupt right and disappeared from sight. Quickening his steps, he turned the corner and nearly collided with her. They stood in a narrow chute created by the intersection of three slabs of rock, and there was no way out but to backtrack. Or to climb. Looking up, Marcus started counting the spikes set into the chute's wall, stopping when he reached 60, despite that being nowhere near the top. His heart drummed in his chest, a rapid thud, thud, that might have seemed loud if not for the wind screaming down from above. Terriana reached for one of the spikes above her head, hanging from it as though to test the metal's ability to hold her weight. Settling her feet back against the ground, she turned to him. We're going back. We'll take the other route. We'll hunt, forage. If the Cybernese can do it, so can we. She's right. Turn around, go back. The route through the Teeth takes a matter of days. For us to take the Via Hibernus would mean 3 more weeks to reach the Legion Fort, and that's if we travel every day. That's not possible if we need to stop to hunt and forage, which means we'll be stuck on the plains in the dead of winter. Do you have any notion of how cold Cybern gets?
I've heard.
Her face was shadowed by her hood, hiding the color of her eyes.
I still think it's the better choice.
Agree with her. Why? He gestured at the spikes. The whole route is like this. Spikes and ropes and bridges. And it isn't as though you aren't a capable climber. Terriana didn't respond. The wind shrieked through what would have been an interminable silence, driving bits of grit and ice into his face.
Hi,
she finally said, pulling back her hood.
I am. But it's not me that I'm worried about.
I can climb. The words came out from between his teeth.
You're afraid of heights.
What makes you think that?
Quintus told me when we were cliff diving. Said everyone in the 37th knows it.
He glared at her. Quintus needs to keep his bloody mouth shut.
Right.
She gave an irritated shake of her head.
Or maybe you need to start being honest about your limitations. We haven't even stepped off the ground, and you already look about ready to heave your guts, empty as they are, out into the snow. Exactly how well do you think that's going to go when you're dangling from a 100-foot cliff?
I'll be fine.
Bullshit. Her hands balled into fists. I'm not going to risk watching you panic and fall to your death when there's another route.
His temper snapped. And I'm not watching you starve to death because of my limitations. Now climb.
Two steps had her in his face, the seas of her eyes tossing and churning with an emotional storm. I am not one of your men. You do not tell me what to do.
Fine. Do what you want.
And because if he listened to one more word of her argument, he knew he'd cave to his fear. Marcus started climbing. His mittened grip on the spikes felt precarious, but even through them, he could feel the cold of the metal, so they'd have to stay. Up and up he climbed, ignoring Tariana's shouts from below, her threats to go back without him, her scathing criticisms of his character. Focus on where you put your hands, on where you put your feet. The wind buffeted him, knocking back his hood, and his ears grew cold within minutes, then started to burn soon after. He risked his balance to pull it forward, but the wind only took it off again, so he left it, grinding his teeth against the pain. Get to the top. He reached for the next spike and closed his left hand over it. But as he pulled his weight upward, reaching with one foot for the next toehold, the spike gave, angling downwards. His hand slid down the metal. The wind shrieked, even as his stomach dropped and his breath came in fast little pants, his foot searching for the next spike. I can't find it. Where is it? His eyes shot down, intent on finding a toehold. Yet it was the distance between him and the ground that made Marcus freeze. That sent the panic racing through his veins. Look up, you jackass!
Tariana's shout snapped him into focus, and his toe found the elusive spike. Heaving with his right hand, he reached for a more secure grip for his left, checking its stability before using it to pull himself to the next, and the next. Up and up, and then he was reaching for the top, scrambling onto the flat rock and rolling onto his back to gasp in breath as he stared up at the sky. Whether it was a heartbeat or an eternity later, he couldn't have said, but suddenly Tariana was above him, her hands pinning his wrists to the rock.
We do this on my terms. Do you understand?
Tears were dripping off her face, already cold when they hit his forehead.
You follow my orders, you do what I say. Is that understood?
It had been a long time since he'd taken orders from an individual, but it was surprisingly easy to relinquish authority, likely because he'd never had any over her in the first place.
Understood.
Good. Now on your feet.